Yeah, just coming up to 20 past nine. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday night, and we're making it that little bit more special for you here on the Global Game. Simon Hill and Daniel Georgeski in the chair for the next 40 minutes, and it's time to talk women's football now with Michelle Escobar of Optus Sport. Good to have you back, Michelle.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. How was your gig last week? You were at it. Was it Jervis Bay?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was really nice.
Paid gig, I hope.
Yes. Well, let's just say so.
We'll keep that between you and your agents. Let's kick off with the Matildas. They, of course, face the USA in Sydney on Saturday, and then Newcastle again for the second game on Tuesday. The Americans' last four results, they've beaten Paraguay 9-0 and 8-0, somehow drawn 0-0 with South Korea before then belting them 6-0 in the second game. Is this the acid test for the Matildas ahead of the Asian Cup next year?
Yeah, I definitely think so. This is going to be the ultimate test for the Matildas because USA are world number one after all. And Australia have only beaten them once, and that was in 2017. It's interesting, though, because there was a lot of expectations for the US and they didn't meet those expectations at the Olympics. So there was quite a bit of criticism, but now they've completely come out and thumped all those opponents that they're up against. So, yeah, we're in for some very exciting matches.
Do you think that the Americans are a team in transition? I mean, for this particular series, there's no Carly Lloyd, there's no Alex Morgan, there's no Megan Rapinoe, there's five uncapped players. So are they going through a little bit of a transitional phase, perhaps in the same way that the Matildas are to some extent?
Yeah, I do think so. And the reason also for having so many new players in the team is because there's a few injuries. But yeah, that's definitely the case that they are in a moment of transition. And we're seeing that with a lot of football powerhouses in the women's game. It's the same, like you said, with Australia and Brazil. But the advantage that the US have is that they've got a really good youth development, and we see that with the college football in their system. So it's probably something that Australia could learn from.
Yeah, if only we had the money, hey? let's talk about the Matildas. Two uncapped players in the squad, Jessica Nash and Charlize Rule. These are the last games for Tony Gustafsson ahead of the Women's Asian Cup. What solutions does he need to find, do you think? Is it still all about that rather leaky defence?
Yeah, it really is down to the defence. They've conceded 33 goals in 14 games since April, so that's quite a lot. And all those matches, all the recent matches, that's always been the issue. And it's also held back Steph Catley and Ellie Carpenter from, you know, really showing their attacking abilities because they've been moved down into different roles. So he's tinkering a lot with the defence. And yeah, this is really the last chance he's going to be able to figure out how to deal with it all before the Asian Cup.
I want to bring Daniel Georgeski in here. He's tinkered with a back three, Tony Gustafsson. He's gone back to the back four now. You've played in both systems. Given the personnel that Tony Gustafsson has available, and you've seen the Matildas as well, do you think the four or the three is better? And what's the difference?
The three is everyone has to be in sync all the time. There's no room for error, and that's the issue with a back three. If you don't have that, then you have to revert back to a back four because that extra player does cover, and it's a bit of more of a natural position. So he has tinkled with it a little bit, and I guess, knowing not just those players, it's the midfielders up front and the wing-backs. We know Carpenter's got engines, but you have to get everyone in sync, and that's probably the hardest thing, which he's tinkering, which these games are perfect for, but it'll be interesting to see what he does for these next two games.
Absolutely. Michelle, is this going to be a bit of a revenge game, do you think, for the Matildas with that third, fourth place game in the Olympics still fresh in their mind?
Yeah, I think so, for sure. There's always a rivalry between USA and Australia, and they're always up for exciting matches. So, yeah, that would definitely be on the minds of all the Matildas, and it's better for us because it's going to be entertaining. And they've got the home ground advantage, of course.
Hey, Michelle. Well, big news this week. Sam Kerr has been nominated for a fifth consecutive year for the FIFA Best Women's Player Award, but yet there's no Fran Kirby. So what do you think about that? What do you reckon? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do think it's crazy that Fran Kirby hasn't been nominated because she's played a huge part in Sam Kerr's success at Chelsea. They have both combined for so many goals. They've really created this lethal partnership. So yeah, it's crazy that Fran Kirby hasn't been recognised, and she's one of the best players that England have. So I really think it's a huge omission.
Yeah, I do too. But I can tell you that Sam Kerr's going to get at least one vote because I'm on the panel.
yeah, you have to vote for
her. And there's about 100 of us around the world, so I'm not sure my vote will make an awful lot of difference. But anyway, she'll get one from me. Just finally, the Women's World Cup qualifying in Europe, Michelle, this weekend. England taking on Austria. That's probably the standout game. There's only 2 points separating them in the group. Where are we at with European qualifying? Are any of the big nations likely to miss out? Doesn't look that way at the moment.
Yeah, it's very early stages. There's still 6 matches to go there, and they've played 4, so they're almost halfway. So, yeah, it's very hard to tell at the moment. England are looking very comfortable, and if they can get a win over Austria, that gives them a 5-point lead. So, yeah, and it's a very exciting time in European football because there's a lot of heavyweights that are just absolutely dominating, like the Netherlands, Spain, England. So it's going to be interesting to see, but at the moment, it's a bit hard to tell if anyone's going to miss out.
And the great news is that they're all going to be here in Australia and, of course, New Zealand at the Women's World Cup in 2023. Michelle, enjoy the football this week. Good to have you back. Speak to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
That's Michelle Escobar from Optus Sports, of course, who show the FA Women's Super League as well as the Premier League. Time for a quick text from Matt in Newcastle, regular listener to the show. How are you, Matt? Great show again, lads. Great to hear Danny on the air. Been loving his commentary over the A-League and FA Cup. Looking forward to the Matildas on the weekend and hopefully a few bumper crowds as well. Yeah, hopefully ticket sales in Newcastle are strong as they are in Sydney. Told it might be a crowd of over 30,000 for that Olympic Park this weekend. So good luck to the Matildas. Off for a quick break. On the other side of it, we will chat Football Asia with Paul Williams.